Welcome to this edition of Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one website for expert investment analysis. Buy Hold Sell is a weekly show where two fund managers share their views on a selection of listed companies in their area of expertise. Buyers and sellers are what make the market, and you'll find that our guests don't always agree on the stocks being covered. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be the first to receive new episodes each week. If there are stocks you'd like our guests to discuss, let us know by leaving a comment in the review segment. Remember, the views expressed in this show are not recommendations to invest. You should seek appropriate investment advice before making any investment decisions. And of course, please read the disclaimer in the show's notes. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to the thematic discussion brought to you by Livewire Markets. I'm Matthew Kidman, and today we're going to talk about the great disconnect, the disconnect between what the share market's doing and what the economy's doing. The Treasury came out today, announced GDP was down in March, and then officially said we're in a recession. What did the share market do? It got a fire under it and went up another 2%. It's up over 30% since the end of March. It all doesn't make sense. And discuss this strange situation. I've got Captain Allfrey from Wavestone and Matt Williams from Airlie. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt, I'll start with you. Is the market crazy? Because the economy is obviously not in a good state at the moment.
Yeah, it is certainly factoring in a very bullish scenario. I mean, a V-shaped recovery, if you like. And look, I think they may be right, but I think there's plenty of unknowns around how unemployment comes back in the second half of the year. And what happens with consumer spending? I mean, so many Australian companies listed on the market are B2C companies, business to consumer, mm-hmm. and really rely on consumer spending. So it's, the market has taken a very strong view. I'm not so sure that's correct, but we'll find out.
Okay, Catherine, but on the other side, we've got stimulus everywhere, like we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Interest rates next to zero,
yep.
Is that going to get us through and the market is right and the V shape that Matt's worried about? Is it going to happen?
It's definitely a liquidity recovery. And the difference this time around is this is an impact on the real economy. So what's the government done? It's come in with massive stimulus and it's happened globally. It's not just here in Australia. And so as a result, we're just seeing an unprecedented response to both, you know, the health crisis that we're facing and the fact that governments realise unless they want to have mass unemployment, they've got to provide the stimulus and put the economy on life support and hope that once those, you know, payments come off, that we can recover and move on.
So you're saying central banks never lose? Whichever game they play, they always eventually win?
Well, they eventually win. They have so far, and that's been, you know, another lesson of this crisis, I think.
Okay. Matt, we'll go back to you. So what does that mean? You sound cautious. Does it mean that you play defence at this point? Because every day we turn up and we watch the market and stocks are jumping really quickly on the upside. So is it time to get defensive if you can, or even raise a bit of cash?
Look, I think any well-structured portfolio has a bit of offence and defence in it. And you're taking a sort of a medium-term view. I mean, for example, in our portfolio, you know, we think about Aurizon as a, you know, an infrastructure defensive type play. We'll get a dividend out of that. On the other hand, we've also got a lot of Aristocrat, which we think is quite offensive, and even Qantas, you'd say you're playing offense with that kind of company, you know, on the recovery front. So look, it's structuring that portfolio and having a bit of both, but making sure that if indeed, you know, it looks like we're through the crisis, but if the crisis gets worse, if it suddenly comes back, that you can survive, these companies can survive. But if things go better, then they can thrive. So it's really that balancing act within the portfolio.
You used a word there that everyone's forgotten, dividend. Mm. Are they going to be important going forward? And is yield going to have its day again sometime in the near future?
I think dividend is going to be massively important. I mean, look, you look back over the last 10 years, and the stat is that, you know, more than half your return has come from the dividend in the Australian market. So you really want to have those companies that can sustainably pay a dividend. And so it's all up in the air right now. I mean, the banks, what's their dividend going to be. So it's, you know, you're playing a bit of that defense. You're having your things that you think will definitely pay a dividend, and then you've got your offense. Well, we're not sure, but if things get better, then these companies will thrive.
Catherine, do you like that cocktail of attack and defense at the same time, or is Matt just off the money and you should be all go hard, things are going higher, interest rates?
You know, that's been the problem, is that obviously we had the massive, fastest sell-off in history, and then you had to suddenly change from being defense into offense, and it's all those defensive companies in the last 6 weeks that have really underperformed, just gone nowhere. So now you have to start looking and saying, right, is that enough? And then rotate your portfolio around. And it seems like every time one sector moves, you know, then it stops and then another one starts.
Yeah, it's a great rotation.
Yeah, rotation keeps going.
What would normally take a couple of years seems to be happening in weeks.
Exactly.
So what's the mix?
We're still offensive at the moment. And that's because of the stimulus payments that you've seen. We have, you know, a fair few defensive, and we're starting to look at the defensive names again in terms of whether we should top up.
And what fits into that category in this market?
In this market, because we still want businesses that are executing well as well. So I would say Woolworths is one of those companies that fits well there. And the question is too, in terms of some of the infrastructure stocks, they've obviously got sold off, and they were used to be seen as defensive companies. Now they're more like offensive companies. So we've been, you know, swapping one for the other there. We've steered clear so far of, you know, stocks such as Telstra in terms of defensive, because again, they've had earnings downgrades recently as well from the analyst community. So it's just more trying to pick companies that we see sustainability with some growth, with management teams that are executing well.
A lot of stocks have received a lot of love in recent times, last 6-7 weeks. The banks and the other financials didn't seem to get as much, but last week, lo and behold, the great rotation. And banks got a fire underneath it. So the rotation into financials, do you think that's deserved? Does it have more legs? And should we be looking at them again? It's a big part of our market.
Yeah, look, it was certainly their turn. I think once the market realised that the crisis is not as dire as maybe some predictions were six weeks or so ago, turned their mind to the sort of oversold, I guess, banks. But look, the banks are... So they're up, 14%, I think, in the last week and a half, the index, the financial index. But the banks are going to bear the brunt of, you know, the crisis of the outcome of this. You know, we've got 10% of the mortgage book on deferrals. We've got, you know, less than that in the SME loans, also on deferrals. There's a lot of unknowns on how this all works out. And again, it goes into unemployment, what happens there, and into housing. But what we do know for sure about the banks is that they're going to have to structurally alter their dividend payout ratios, and they've got to come lower. So that puts me really, you know, on the sidelines. I think it was their turn to rally from an oversold, a little bit oversold, but to see it sustainably go from here, I'm not so sure.
Okay, Catherine, staying with the financials.
Yep.
It can make or break anyone's year who is a fund manager to be overweight, underweight banks in the Australian market in the last 2 years, to stay underweight and you win. What about now? Just the same question directed at Matt. Is it time? Is that the defence we're playing, or is it just too many uncertainties until we get to September, October, and the, you know, the interest issue comes up and the bad debts and so on?
Okay, so like Matt, I thought that, you know, they were getting down there. They were trading at 0.7, 0.8 times book value. And I guess when you're going through a bad debt cycle, you stop looking at PEs and dividend yields because they're not paying a dividend yield. So you go to what are they versus their book value. And so what we could see was that you know, they were trading historic lows. And so all they needed was some sort of economic news to come out that was positive, and the way they'd go. So when the Treasurer came out and said, oh, sorry, we made that mistake.
Yeah.
You know, there's 3 million less people on, you know, JobKeeper. I can tell you the banks were popping champagne corks. Not that they actually believed that 6 million people were going to be on some sort of, you know, payment. But at the same time, I think they were like quite relieved, because that sort of almost caps off how many of these deferral payments that Matt was just talking about could occur. So, you know, I think they're good for a trade. The problem is long term is this low interest rate environment you know, what happens to the, you know, the banks. It's terrible for banks to have, you know, the cash rate at 25 basis points. It makes margin management really, really difficult. But the analysts have put in, you know, massive provisions in their forward forecast for the next 3 years. So it's not only just this year, they've forecasted elevated, you know, losses for the next few years. So the question in my mind, and I thought once I saw that news from the government, I thought, right, it's not going to be as bad as
so,
what the analysts
so
are forecasting.
Bullish from this point now, they've rallied a bit?
No, only, no.
Maybe a market
neutral? Yeah. I mean, no, I mean, I'm not super bullish, no.
Yeah, and so the other big sector in the finance game is insurance.
Yeah.
And they've been left behind as well.
Yeah.
That sector.
Yes.
Views on that?
General insurance. Well, the problem with insurance is life insurance, general insurance and medical insurance. You know,
General insurance.
Okay. So we've seen massive claims in terms of the bushfires, so that was sort of unexpected. Again, insurers get hit on their investment portfolios with lower yields. Overall, we've had a change of management with IAG as well. And Suncorp, of course, about 10-15% of its business comes from the bank, so clearly the same issues as the banks are facing. So, you know, they seem to be evenly priced. They're in a sort of oligopoly-type market structure, which is quite favourable, so they do have some pricing power, but fairly priced as far as we're concerned.
Matt, general insurers, pretty big part of our market, a couple of big companies, important, haven't bounced. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I hope they get a turn because I own some Suncorp and I've been waiting for their turn to bounce in the market and they just haven't done it. Look, I think it's tough. They're having to pay higher reinsurance because of the bushfires and the claims of last year. And look, their market share has just slowly and progressively been chipped away at by the up-and-comers. And so the market structure is good, but it's not as good as it used to be. And I think they've found it tough to get the pricing that they've needed to. I'm giving all the bad points, but I think that a lot of that is in the price for these companies. And I'm hoping that they get their turn to rally soon.
Okay, so that's a bit of light there. So just to sum up, it's a funny situation at the moment. Crashed, bounced. Can you afford to be on the sideline? People like us, we've got to be there all the time. But for your average person at home, can you be on the sideline or do you have to be in the game given interest rates are so low?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. We were talking at work, you know, just recently about if we were left to our own devices, our mandates are to be invested. If we were left to our own devices, you know, you could have not been in the market or had a much bigger cash waiting. So I think you've always got to be there in some respects and you can tinker around where your weights are. But you're absolutely spot on. At a official rate at a quarter of a percent, there is companies out there that will give you plus 5% pretty reliably, we think, with franking. So why wouldn't you be in the market?
Catherine, same question. It's the one everyone wants to know. Can we afford to be out given the rally and everyone's hesitant and saying, I've missed it?
Well, there's the old acronym, TINA. There is no alternative, unfortunately, because where else can you invest at the moment? We don't know in terms of residential property prices. That's yet to come. You know, we've seen the actual rental vacancy rate increase dramatically, particularly in the major cities. And so what's going to happen to house prices? So personally, I wouldn't be going and buying, you know, a house at the moment. I'd be waiting for that price fall to come through and be reflected in the housing market. So for, you know, equities, I'm happy to be still invested.
So there you have it, Tina and all your friends out there, pick up your bat and ball and go and have a go.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis. Register for free at livewiremarkets.com to discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.